Welcome to the For Love and Money podcast, the show where business and social purpose meet to inspire a movement for positive change. Here's your host, Carolyn Butler Madden.
Can you imagine loving your bank? Okay, so can you now imagine your bank being a reflection of how you see yourself in the same way some of us choose fashion brands to reflect parts of our identity? Well, perhaps if your bank is Bank Australia, you might not have to imagine too hard. From today's interview, this bank is one that I can easily imagine loving and identifying with. So my guest today is Georgia Windrum. She is the Manager of Climate Action Strategy at Bank Australia. Georgia leads Bank Australia's work to reach their ambitious net zero 2035 target. She has previously worked on climate strategy, policy and campaigns at Climate Work Centre, the Australian Conservation Foundation and the Australian Council of Trade Unions. Our conversation uncovers the unusual way that Bank Australia conducts its business, from being customer-owned to not paying out bonuses or dividends and to serving their purpose, to inspire and empower their customers to use their money to create a world where people and the planet thrive. There is so much we can learn from this Australian bank, and one of their ambitions is that other financial institutions use and adopt their model. This collaborative mindset comes from the ambition they have to use business as a force for good. Let's get into it. Georgia, welcome to the For Love and Money podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, Carolyn.
So I'd like to kick off with the first question, which I ask all our guests, which is, in your view, when you think about business itself or purpose in business, do you think love has a role to play?
It's a really interesting question. And I did sort of ponder this for a little while. And I think that the way I think about the role of love is really about connection and community and how that relates to what we do in business. And I think in Bank Australia's case, that connection to the communities that we serve is really core to what we do as a member-owned bank. And that's like the heart of why we exist, to serve them and to prioritize what they really care about. So I think, yes, that sense of love does have a role to play. It's a different kind of love. I think it's about taking responsibility to act on behalf of a community and to serve their needs.
Beautiful, beautiful. And we will be getting into Bank Australia and how it uniquely operates in a moment. But before we do, I'd love you to share a little bit of your background story so our listeners can understand how you've landed where you are today as the Manager of Climate Action Strategy at Bank Australia.
Yes, happy to share. So I grew up living between the city and the countryside and always had a really deep connection with being in nature, particularly being around animals on the farm that I would spend a lot of time on. And I also had quite a strong creative streak as a child, and I ended up studying contemporary art theory at university. So I've had a bit of an unusual path into working in climate action. I think that combination of being in an environment where I was really engaged in politics, social change, kind of critical discussions around the art world really grew my interest in how to make change happen in the world, and just became increasingly interested in the climate crisis as this existential challenge, but also one that would promise a completely different world in positive, hopeful ways as well. So after I finished those studies in the arts, I had a few sort of different jobs, and I found myself at the Australian Conservation Foundation when I moved to Melbourne. And that was a real turning point for me, both because of my, as I mentioned, you know, growing up in the country and having that connection to being in nature, but then seeing the work of somewhere like the ACF. I think the two things that meant a lot to me were seeing the incredible power of communities when they come together and mobilize around something that they care about, and also telling really powerful stories and narratives about nature and climate. And that's really what I took from my time at the ACF. And then I went on to work for a number of different climate think tanks, not-for-profit organizations. And then I found myself at Bank Australia as the manager of the climate action strategy. And maybe later I can talk a little bit more about why it's such an interesting role, and the kind of breadth of work that I get to do is really fulfilling.
I love that. Well, why don't you take us there now?
Yeah, of course. So, as I said, I'd worked in a range of different roles doing community campaigns, policy work, research, stakeholder engagement, a whole range of things, really. And I felt increasingly like I really want to be really close to what people are doing in their everyday lives. And the financial sector has so much power to influence that. So that was what kind of attracted me to taking up this job at Bank Australia. But what's so wonderful about my role is that although a lot of my time is really focused on decarbonisation and bringing down emissions, Bank Australia's got incredibly ambitious targets, net zero by 2035 across our operations, but also our portfolio emissions. I get to do all of that work with the lens of how can we be responsible in serving our customers and making their lives better. And beyond delivering that, doing that in partnership with others, doing advocacy work, doing philanthropy work, it's incredibly broad and really quite a systemic approach to how you achieve change.
It must be incredibly fulfilling. And going back to, what you shared, I guess that intersection between art and nature. And I imagine that's coming into what you're doing today, because so much of what I imagine you would be doing is looking at how you think differently and design your way through. Doing things in a different way to what they've traditionally been done so that you can create that impact. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. I think part of it is being actively hopeful for a better world. It's also wonderful to have a really strong imagination of what that world could be. And I think that's where the role of artists is so beautiful in this space. It's helping us to find language, whether that's visual or otherwise, to think about this enormous shift that our world is going through. And some of it is scary and some of it is really confronting to work through, but there are incredibly inspiring and wonderful things that we can think about achieving as well. So I love bringing these sort of different dimensions into how I work and think about what I'm trying to achieve through my work.
Does it feel like activism?
It does. It's really interesting to be asked that question, I suppose, working for a financial institution. And although Bank Australia is, pretty unique in being a mutual bank and not a typical kind of bank, there's definitely an element of feeling like we're really trying to push the boundaries of what a bank can be and the role that a bank needs to play in how the community is responding to the climate crisis. And a big part of that, I think, is listening and responding to what the community wants as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So now would be a great time if you can't. So let's assume our listeners know nothing about Bank Australia.
Yep.
Can you share with them who Bank Australia are, what makes you different to other banks in Australia?
Of course. So Bank Australia is a mutual bank, which means that we're owned by our customers who are our members. So rather than being owned by shareholders, every single one of our customers has an equal share and an equal vote in how the bank is run. So it's a very different model of business, and it means that our customers are really at the core of all of the decisions that we make. On top of being a mutual, we're also a certified B Corp, and we have a responsible banking policy, which just commits us to using our customers' money as a force for good and not in ways that do harm. So we have four impact sort of priority areas that we're focused on. One is climate action, and I'm responsible for that work. But we're also doing an incredible amount of work on nature and biodiversity, on First Nations recognition and respect, and affordable and accessible housing. And those four areas are areas that are identified by our customers as where they want the bank to be taking action and leading on their behalf. So it is quite a unique business to work in. And I think another element of it that I really love that I sort of touched on a little bit before is that we're doing incredible work through our banking products and services to help our customers in the community. But it's also going beyond the sort of banking business as usual, looking at how we can have really impactful partnerships, how we can do work in the advocacy space, how we can use philanthropy to achieve these systemic outcomes as well.
So it's really going back to what you were talking about, communities. It's really building that movement. And thank you for sharing that. One thing that came through when I was doing research on Bank Australia is what an incredibly strong sense of identity it seems to have. You know, I pulled out the bank for people who believe in a fair and just society. And I was reading last year's impact report. And customer satisfaction is really high, 88.6% last year, which seems huge. And employee engagement, a score of 70% based on a certain engagement model, but well above the Australian average. So that says to me that you've got a clear sense of who you are as an organization and a community, a group of people, not just the people within the bank, but the customers that you attract as well.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. And I think our message resonates with so many people in feeling like they're expecting more from big institutions in our society, in the many crises that we're facing as humans and on this planet. And I think our message that, we are centering that responsibility to act. We are making ambitious commitments, in the climate space. I mentioned our net zero target, but in various other spaces as well. And we're following through and we're involving our customers and we're sharing stories and we're listening and learning. So I think, what you're seeing in our impact report is a product of that identity really resonating and our customers shaping that together with us.
Yeah, beautiful. And it feeds your purpose, which is to inspire and empower our customers to use their money to create a world where people and the planet thrive. Love it.
Yeah, and I think particularly, in thinking about climate action and activism in some ways, there are so many things that people can be doing in their lives, and different people have different capacity to engage in different ways. Like, not everyone is in a position to be, out at a protest every weekend. Not everyone is in a position to put a huge amount of money into philanthropy. Like, we all are living very different lives, but one thing that we all have in common is we very likely need banking services. And just taking this step to be part of a broader collective that is trying to drive, good in this space, I think is just really empowering for people. It's accessible, it's a simple thing you can do.
Absolutely. And I'd love to dig a little bit more into, what does it mean to be customer owned? Because your customers are your shareholders, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. But all with one equal share. So there's no dynamics playing out where some have more power than others. Everyone has one share and effectively one vote at our AGM.
And rather than paying out dividends to shareholders, you're reinvesting it into
The business.
offering better products for customers and your impact.
That's right. And so we don't pay executive bonuses. And as you said, we don't pay out dividends to shareholders. So profits that the bank make are reinvested into the bank to improve the services that we offer to our customers, to grow the impact work that we're doing. We also have a commitment where up to 4% of our profits, after-tax profits each year, are allocated to our impact fund, which is our philanthropic fund. And we have partnerships through that impact fund that align to the four priority areas that I described. So climate, nature, First Nations recognition, respect and affordable and accessible housing. But also more broadly, we run a grants program for our community customers. So those are smaller grants for just really incredible community-led initiatives. And yeah, all of that is because we're a customer-owned bank.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love it. And I saw all your employees are also based in Australia.
Yeah, that's correct. We've got a really strong commitment to that. And a third of our workforce is actually based in the Gippsland Latrobe Valley region. And we have a strong history in that region and a commitment to supporting jobs there, which has a nice connection to our climate action strategy as well, where we have a commitment around supporting a just transition. both in seeing First Nations leadership centred in how we respond to the climate crisis, but also in particular supporting the Latrobe Valley community as a community that is dealing with the huge economic challenge of transitioning away from fossil fuels. So part of that is employing our workforce locally in that area, but also how we can be looking at other appropriate roles for a bank to play in seeing economic diversification, in supporting grassroots community-led initiatives and so forth.
Brilliant. So you mentioned the four pillars. My understanding is, and they're all incredibly worthy areas, right? And highly relevant. My understanding is your customers, climate action is the number one issue for your customers. I'd love you to share, Georgia, you know, some specific examples of what you're doing. You've mentioned net zero by 2035, which is massively ambitious. And I believe it's the most ambitious target of any Australian bank.
Yeah.
So that must force you to look at ways of doing business differently, because you can't just keep going the way you normally would and achieve that target. So I'd love you to share some. I know you've got lots of projects, but I'd love you to share some of the projects that you're most excited and passionate about.
Yes, there are many, many projects and pieces of work on the go underneath our climate action strategy. The piece that I'm probably the most passionate about is our residential electrification work. So we launched a pilot called the Electrify Your Home pilot in October last year. And really what we're focused on doing is learning how we can help our customers get off gas in their homes. So for a number of years, Bank Australia's had the Clean Energy Home Loan product in the market, which is a reduced rate on your mortgage if you build or buy a new green home or you make ambitious upgrades to your existing home. It's a really wonderful product, and it kind of sits at the end of the process for customers who've done that work to reward them or incentivize them to have a green home. So that is sort of one piece of the puzzle. But what we realized was we really wanted to be more proactive in being able to influence and support our customers to go on that journey. And that's where we designed this Electrify Your Home program that gives customers the tools and information to understand the costs to them in getting off gas, the upfront costs, but the potential benefits in terms of energy bill savings, potential health and comfort in their homes. And doing that in a way that is scalable and accessible to a lot of people. So while, you know, it's really important that people have access to an in-home energy assessor if they want to do a really detailed assessment and pay for that level of detail, we recognize that, but making a digital tool available more broadly for people to get a really good sense with a really great user experience that helps them to understand their particular circumstances is what we wanted to achieve. So we've partnered with an organization called Boom Power that's got an incredible calculator to help people look at their options to start their household electrification journey, then connecting them in with some trusted tradespeople who can carry out the work for them, and also giving them access to advice through the Yarra Energy Foundation. You know, there's lots of technical questions that come up for people about what size solar system do I need? Is this brand of hot water heat pump any better than this other brand? So they've got access to that advice from some experts there. And then, of course, they can contact us at the bank if they're interested in finance to help them support those upfront costs. So I think it's a really amazing piece of work to have led. And being able to engage our customers of, you know, where we need to be going with Australian housing, I think there's a lot of confusion still about the role of gas. And so I just feel really grateful to be able to do work that's helping people to future-proof their houses, make themselves more resilient to what the future energy system could look like, and just to be more comfortable at home and living in a healthier environment. So yeah, it was a huge piece of work. And as I said, it's launched as a pilot, and we're planning how we can roll that out to all of our customers in the coming months.
I love it. And what I love about it is, you know, people are looking for ways to do better, you know, but we don't know. It's like, and who has time? So for Bank Australia to be proactive
and actually create this pilot program and provide the support, provide the tools and support to people is exactly what I think what people want from business.
I agree. I think, you know, the two huge challenges for most people are time and trust. Time, like none of us have time. Life is so fast paced. The easier and more straightforward things can be, the better. And then having a trusted relationship with who's providing you this information, knowing that you can get advice from different sources and so forth, especially when there is so much noise in this space, there's so much information being put out with different group from different groups with different agendas. I think that, you know, because we're a customer-owned bank, we do have a different position in being able to have that trusted relationship with our customers.
Yeah, definitely. So the pilot is currently running.
Yes.
How have you found it? How has it been going? Has it, I imagine as a pilot, you're doing it as a pilot because, you know, you want to eke out all the challenges. Yeah. So yeah. How have you found it so far?
It's been going really well, and you're exactly right. Like we designed it as a pilot so that we could learn as much as possible about how to create a good customer experience in navigating all of this information around household electrification, so that we could understand as a bank, you know, what do we need to have in place to deliver this at scale. So far, it's been going really well. We've had incredibly high customer engagement with it. So we've invited a select group of customers based in Victoria that already have home loans with us and that they meet certain criteria. So we started with a small group, but it's been really incredible to see just the level of interest and engagement with the tools that we've put out there, the feedback that we're receiving. And something that really inspires me and motivates me is just seeing how so many people in this space are pulling in the same direction. So seeing that the federal government has announced this $1 billion of funding through the Household Energy Upgrades Fund that the CEFC will be administering, seeing the Victorian government and the State Electricity Commission being revamped to do household electrification pilots, Rewiring Australia doing amazing community-led work in this space. It just feels like, you know, those are just a few. Like there are so many people pulling in the same direction, which is not the case for a lot of issues in the climate space. But it feels like there's a very consistent message about fully electrified, energy efficient homes is the future that we all need to work towards. And just seeing how our customers are really responding to that is so wonderful. And I'm really pleased.
It's exciting to see when you step out from a scenario where brakes are being applied for all sorts of political reasons and things start actually happening and momentum, you start seeing the momentum. I guess it makes you think, you know, you think about the possibilities and what we're all capable of if we actually put our mind, energy, and effort into things.
Absolutely. And it's a challenging space. There are millions of Australian homes that are going to need to be upgraded and a lot of different families in different circumstances that are going to need different kinds of solutions to support them to do this. But I think the starting point is having a clear, consistent vision of where we all need to get to. And it feels like we've got that. So that's great.
Wonderful. So do you have a target or a goal around this once you roll out? When do you imagine the rollout would be happening?
Yeah, so our pilot is going to run through until June, and we're doing some planning and thinking about what the next phase looks like now, and hoping that in the relatively short term, we will be able to make this service available to all of our customers. And we will keep building on it. We will keep innovating around it, keep finding new partners that can add value to our customers through the process.
So, Georgia, is there much awareness of what Bank Australia are doing in this space? And what I'm curious to understand is, you know, is it attracting your people? Is it attracting the customers that you want to come and bank with Bank Australia?
Yes, absolutely. I think as you were kind of observing at the start of our conversation, you know, Bank Australia has a very strong brand and authentic identity that sits behind that brand. And I think that attracts the kinds of people that, we want to be supporting. So people that are aligned with our values, that are aligned with taking ambitious action on these issue areas, and people that understand that, individual action is of course important, but it's about being part of a larger collective that's really going to drive the scale of change that we need. So we see, a lot of our customers kind of coming through, fitting that profile, really wanting to engage with what Bank Australia is and can be. And there's definitely a special cohort of Bank Australia customers that are probably sustainability professionals themselves and understand a lot of the technical detail around what we're doing and hold us to account, ask questions about the ambition of our targets, the detail of our, for example, our 2030 interim targets, asking us questions about the design of our various initiatives. And I love that. I love that our customers care enough to engage with us and ask those questions of us and want to understand the detail. That's not every single customer, but there's definitely a strong crew of them that are there and very engaged. And also, ask us the hard questions about how we're going to be equitable in this transition. So, for example, we made an announcement around ceasing funding for new fossil fuel cars from 2025. And as part of that commitment, we recognise that the second-hand electric vehicle market is still very much developing in Australia, and that an electric car is not going to be accessible for a lot of people yet. And that's why we made our commitment. We'll continue to support people with second-hand fossil fuel vehicle purchases for the interim. And our customers were really active in discussing that with us about making sure that we are not bringing in policies that exclude and alienate big groups in our communities. And that's also why we try to engage in work at a systemic level. So we've done advocacy work. We did a submission to the National Electric Vehicle Strategy that the federal government was running, because we want, on behalf of our customers, to see a really great secondhand EV market evolving, for example. So to go back to your question, Carolyn, yes, we have amazing people that are coming to us at Bank Australia, and it's really heartening when we get to discuss with them what we are grappling with, and we get the feedback from them, and we get the push from them to think about things really deeply and grapple with the grey that is sometimes really hard as a business when you've got to make decisions. So yeah, I love that part of my job.
I bet you do. And, having that customer engagement, what a gift, what a privilege, really,
Exactly. Yeah.
because I mean, most customers of standard banks are so disengaged and have so little trust and assume the worst of our banks that, to have people who care enough to get involved and ask the questions and challenge you to think harder, deeper, stronger is absolutely amazing. So you've kind of answered my next question, which was where there's alignment between the values and beliefs of your customers and organization and the purpose, how does that make for different relationships? I guess that's it.
That's it. Yeah. It's that accountability piece. It's not, I think for a lot of businesses, it's being accountable to providing the transaction or the service that you said you would for the customer. So, of course, we have that as a bank. But there's an additional piece about being accountable for how we are acting in the system of financial institutions, of how ambitious we're being on these issues that our customers care about, and having that level of connection and accountability with our customers to deliver on what they expect beyond good banking products, which is pretty special.
And it really goes to this idea of business being the institution which has the greatest capacity, I believe, to create change, positive impact in the world, because, you've got your people, you've got your resources, you've got your engagement, your interaction with customers, and, the capacity for innovation and change, like in many ways, more so than government, right? Because people are, engaging every day with business. And so it's such a huge opportunity. So to hear what you're doing and the relationship you're building with your customers in creating that movement, is really exciting and just shows that model in action.
Enjoying the podcast? If you're looking for more inspiration, head to our website, thecauseeffect.com.au, for more resources on how you can start using your business as a force for good. Or buy the For Love and Money book. Every copy sold allows us to protect 1 square meter of rainforest. Help us save 10,000 square meters by 2025.
Are there any, like, what are the downsides? What are the challenges?
That's a very good question. Like, I think it's largely a huge benefit to the work that we're doing. Sometimes I get asked, how do we deal with the potential commercial implications of what we're doing? And it's a really interesting one, because the way we look at it is, you know, taking really ambitious action on climate and moving fast is what our customers expect, but it's also going to make our bank resilient into the future and support our customers to be resilient to things like the evolution of the energy system. And so there's not really this trade-off in taking ambitious, purposeful action with commercial outcomes. As you said, you know, it's so built into the brand and the identity of what we're doing that we don't see it that way. And so perhaps part of the challenge is, you know, we want to be able to use what we're doing. Like, we're a small bank and we kind of want to be modeling what we think is really good and see others taking, other financial institutions, other big institutions that are relevant, taking an interest in what we're doing. For example, with the Electrify Your Home pilot that I mentioned, being able to share what we are learning about what customers need in this space, what we think needs to happen in the broader ecosystem with these other institutions. So, you know, we really want to do that thought leadership piece. We are small, and so we cannot fix the scale. Like, you know, we're not at the scale to sort of drive massive change, but I think we can be a bit of a light around what the change needs to look like. So perhaps that's the challenge, is being small and having huge ambitions.
Which inspires exactly what you've described, which is a collaborative mindset over a competitive mindset.
Exactly, yeah.
And again, it reinforces that, you know, if you are truly driven by the change you want to make in the world, i.e. your purpose, you can't afford to think small.
Yeah, and I think that's really ingrained in how we operate, you know. We very much want to see a race to the top and healthy competition about who can have the best green products, who can be driving ambitious action on climate and sharing with one another what we know or what we need government or others to be acting on. I think it's really, although we're small, you know, our reach kind of extends because we have that attitude of being collaborative.
Yeah. Has Bank Australia had a criticism of being woke?
I mean, it's not something that I've personally come across in my role, but I think one really important consideration that I was touching on a little bit before is about the risk of alienating people and certain parts of our communities through taking really ambitious action. So the electric car shift is one example of that. I think the other part of it is there's a really, I believe, healthy growing awareness of greenwashing and skepticism about green messages that people are hearing from businesses. I think that's really, really good, because we've come from a place where people were just sort of accepting what businesses were saying and accepting a little image of the planet on a product and or green something or other and thinking that meant it was fine and they didn't need to dig into it anymore. And so I think having that healthy challenge and being held to account to really clearly communicate and back up with evidence how you are acting on your claims or your commitments is so important. And so, although, you know, it's not something that we've really had to deal with in a significant way at Bank Australia, because we have so much action to back up our commitments, I think it's important that we know that that expectation is increasing all the time and we need to be consistent in how we communicate around it. And then at the same time, consistent in thinking about the different kinds of consequences from making ambitious decisions, and who in the community might be left behind, and who might not be in a financial position to do the kinds of things that we're talking about. And so that's why climate justice is a pillar in our strategy. A big one that, you know, as well as the cars that I mentioned, is often around talking about household electrification. What about renters in this space? And, you know, it's trickier for us as a bank to it's a trickier problem to solve, how you support outcomes for renters. So one of the levers that we have as a bank is working with our customers who are property investors to influence them to make these changes to the properties that they invest in, but then also how we can use advocacy work, philanthropy work, partnerships to be supporting many of our customers who are renters themselves. So those equity dimensions, I think, you know, are really important as a bank for us to consider how we are going to contribute to good outcomes in that space.
Yeah. And you know, doing that due diligence around who are you leaving behind, who might you be leaving behind in doing what you think is positive is great. Which brings me to the next thing I want to get into, which is your people. Because, you know, what you're talking about here is an innovation agenda, really. Mm. Isn't it? And that must come from your people. So I'm really curious to understand, you know, what kind of people work at Bank Australia? Who are you attracting? And, you know, what does it mean to their relationship with the organization that you are so strongly purpose driven?
Yeah, it's certainly a driver for a lot. I would say the vast majority of people that come to work at Bank Australia are aligned to our values and purpose, have potentially come from much larger institutions or previous lives, and can see that they can bring their skill set to something that is contributing so positively to the community. So one of the other things that I think I really love about my role, although I manage the climate action strategy, is that I work with so many different staff across the business, whether that's product team, lending team, customer-facing teams, risk, procurement, finance, legal, so many. And their day-to-day jobs are increasingly becoming, you know, really touching climate, nature, other areas that we're working on. And so it's really wonderful to be able to play a role in people that are so passionate about bringing this into their day-to-day, working for an organization that's purpose-driven, and being able to spend time with them and really bring them into what this actually needs to look like, and helping to play that kind of capability building role in a more sort of detailed technical way. So it is, I'd say, quite an incredible, you know, group of people that work at Bank Australia that have just, yeah, a wonderful perspective on how business can be a force for good, and how, even if, you know, you're day-to-day role is as an accountant or whatever it might be, like, you are a critical person in helping to work towards solutions for the climate crisis. Like, that is just like a wonderful situation, I think, that it's not just all, you know, the people in the sustainability teams or, you know, the activists at the front of a protest. Like, everyone can have a role to play in their day-to-day work.
And that's what people want. You know, I was talking to someone earlier today, you think about when students leave university or school, when they first go into the workforce, and they've got this, you know, this excitement about, I've arrived, here I am, I'm going to change the world. And very soon you see it just drain out of them.
Yeah.
Particularly when they enter into the corporate world.
Yeah.
And they kind of just, they dumb down that energy and excitement and passion. And, you know, if we're not harnessing that, then we're not realizing the full potential of people.
Yeah.
And then clearly we can't realize the full potential of our businesses, our organizations, if we're not tapping into that. So when you talk about passion, you know, that's people being emotionally invested in the success of the organization, because success is not just about shareholder return.
Absolutely. And I think you're so right, like, that beautiful, enthusiastic energy It's so important to conserve, particularly when we're confronted with these really difficult problems that we're trying to solve. And not everyone's going to be in that place all the time. People will have their highs and lows about it. But when you work in a workplace where there is that deep commitment to something better, there's a bit of a snowballing effect where you can get energy from others, you can give it to others, and it's really a wonderful environment.
Yeah, wonderful. And as we said before, that employee engagement score is amazing of 70%. You know, that's a story. That's a huge, a very powerful story on its own. So I want to bring it back to the title of this podcast, For Love and Money, and ask you to share your view on the relationship between purpose and profit, love and money.
I suppose for me, what's the point of profit if there's no purpose behind it? I mean, perhaps that's a bit of a radical thing to say, but what are we working towards if we're not working towards better outcomes for our communities, better outcomes for nature, a better, safer life for everyone and everything? I just, yeah, you know, I think it's so core to what Bank Australia does that I can't even imagine not being in it, if that makes sense. And I think it's, yeah, that making choices that you can look back on and say you really worked to achieve something. Like, we can't solve every single problem. There aren't always going to be perfect solutions. But as you said, you know, there's a huge role for business to play in this space, a huge amount of finance that's needed to support these solutions, and an incredible influence over people and how they use their money and the kinds of sort of transactions and choices that they make. So it's a really interesting world that we're living in. I think government's still got an incredibly important role to play, but businesses need to be so responsible with what they're doing. And I think increasingly people are expecting that, kind of what I was mentioning with the greenwashing piece as well, people becoming more skeptical and less trusting of institutions. And we don't want to kind of descend into a space where there's no trust at all. And so it's kind of on us to build that trust and to keep acting in a responsible way. And I think the love piece is, yeah, really interesting. Like, I think when you first put that question to me, I was like, oh, I've never thought about like using the word love in this context. And I did talk about connection and community. And I think it's also an authenticity. Like, when you are showing up to work from a place of deep care and responsibility for what you think you can achieve as an individual, like, it's an act of love, because you're not there to get something purely to get something out of it for yourself. Of course, we all have to live in society and pay bills, but there's something bigger than you. And it's a really interesting way to think about it, as coming from the heart and coming from a space of love and care.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that actively prompting people to think in those terms, because it's so not how you look at business, you know, this idea of love in business. Even though people say, I love what I do, it's not the same, right? But when you say, actually, if we're driven by a love of, you know, people and planet,
yep,
as simple as that, and we're using our time on this planet to leave it better than we found it and do it in a way that we can make money, the organization can make money, and, you know, we can all feel more fulfilled and create that positive impact that people want to feel they're capable of.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very fundamental human need to feel connection and meaning. And as you said, with, you know, the sort of description of young people and seeing those lights dim when they get into environments that are very transactional, how can we push against that and center relationships and center each other and a common purpose?
And that is exactly what Bank Australia is doing, from what I can see. So I want to thank you for what you're doing. And I'd love to invite you to close out the episode. Let me thank you first for coming and sharing, you know, what you do and what you're trying to achieve with Bank Australia. But I'd love to invite you to close out the episode with a vision of George's dream. You know, if you could achieve what you want to achieve through what you're doing today, a few years from now, what might it look like?
Oh, big question for the end. And thank you so much for having me on. It's been really lovely talking to you. I think my dream is that people feel hopeful and feel empowered to make decisions in their day-to-day lives that are going to change systems and change the world that we live in. I think their choice of bank is one element of that, but there are many others. And I think in the world that we live in, feeling hopeful and feeling empowered to act on that hope is very precious. And so my dream is that lots of people feel that way. Yes, I'll leave it at that.
I love it. I love it. And I think a lot of people would share that dream. It's beautiful. Georgia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the For Love and Money podcast. If you'd like to take a deeper dive into the purpose movement, visit us at thecauseeffect.com.au. And remember, doing good is good for business. So if you're not doing good, then what are you doing?